This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. At its meeting last week, the Wisconsin Natural Resources Board reviewed proposals from the DNR on standards for levels of PFAS in Wisconsin water. PFOS and PFOA are two of the most studied versions of this group, are what are also referred to as forever chemicals, and that they don't break down well in nature or in the human body. And when they build up in the body, they've been shown to lead to different types of cancer, thyroid disease, and fertility issues. David Strifling is director of the Water Law and Policy Initiative at Marquette University Law School. Dave, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob. Happy to be here.
Before we get into this meeting this week, can you talk about what seems like a widening number of communities in Wisconsin having concerns about PFAS chemicals in their drinking water in particular?
Yeah, we're seeing them at any number of sites, cities around the state, and DNR is looking at what I understand to be dozens of sites where there may be contamination associated with PFAS that's been found. And so people are scared. People are nervous. You know, you can hardly think of something more fundamental to life than water. And when that's threatened, it's a raw emotion that I think we're seeing around the state.
And it was an emotional meeting. I want to listen to the chairperson of the town of Peshtigo testifying. Cindy Boyle got rid of her prepared remarks. She said she was just reading other people's points. Let's listen to a little of what she did say.
My blood level's 5 times higher than the national average, people. This isn't a joke. This isn't hyperbolic. It is history. It does matter. And for God's sake, it's needed. We cannot do anything. We are all on drinking wells in the town of Peshtigo. 1/3 of our parcels are impacted. 4,000 people, 1/3 of our parcels are impacted. It continues to migrate. If we don't have state standards, there is nothing that we can do to hold our responsible party accountable to provide us safe drinking water. What does that mean? That means we all go every single day continuing to drink poison.
So what are the responsible parties? Where are these chemicals coming from in our groundwater and our drinking water?
Well, we see them from a lot of different sources. These are just organic compounds that have been used in nonstick coatings and waterproof fabrics and firefighting foams and even food packaging. So they're coming from metal finishers and paint manufacturers. They're leaching out of landfills. They're coming from all sorts of different industrial sources, even medical products. And, you know, the mayor there said that she has a bloodstream level of 5 times the national average. And it's very likely, Rob, if you and I were tested, they'd be in our bloodstream too, as well as pretty much every other human on the planet. They are ubiquitous. They're everywhere.
Let's get into what came out of this meeting now. The DNR had asked for a standard on drinking water. Now, there's a few different categories of water. Let's start with drinking water. The DNR said they wanted to set a maximum recommendation of 20 parts per trillion. The board ended up going with 70 parts per trillion. These are small amounts that we're talking about. What does this all mean?
Right. So you might have expected the board either to say just yes or no to DNR's proposal, but instead it chose a third route at 70 parts per trillion. And in doing so, it was adopting what EPA had established several years ago as what's called a health advisory level. And so that was an unenforceable standard at the federal level, but that's where the board turned to get that number. And you know, a lot of the objection to these rules here, I think, at the state level has been along the lines of, well, we should just wait for EPA to develop federal numbers and then adopt those. The frustration is that EPA has sort of been dragging its heels on this, and a lot of states just aren't waiting for EPA. And that's why I think you saw Governor Evers direct WDNR to develop its own standards. So, you know, that's sort of a mixed bag for DNR on this particular rule. It didn't get what it wanted in terms of 20 parts per trillion, but at least putting some kind of standard in place would allow the agency to move forward with testing and sampling from municipal water utilities. Now, that's not to say the standard is in place yet. You know, we're kind of jumping ahead here, mm-hmm. but the legislature still has to approve all of these rules. So the action by the NRB doesn't mean that the rules immediately go into effect. There's another step that has to take place here.
Yeah, and supposing we end up with rules, whether it's 20 or 70 or whatever the number is, and the legislature approves it, you test a town's water supply, it's over whatever that threshold is, then what? What would happen?
Well, theoretically, the DNR could initiate an enforcement action against that municipality to bring it back into compliance. In reality, the DNR almost never comes down with a, you know, real hard hammer on municipalities. Instead, the DNR would likely work with the municipality to get it back into compliance. I think it's unlikely that DNR would impose some kind of heavy fine on a municipality who is not in compliance, especially given that the rules are so new. This would be more of a chance for the municipality to understand what the levels are in its water supply and get back into compliance with whatever the number eventually falls in at.
The board didn't pass a, as I understand this, a groundwater standard. We've been talking about drinking water. This is groundwater, but I guess if I have a well, I'm kind of interested in what the groundwater is like. What does it mean that they didn't pass a standard there?
Yeah, you've hit on exactly the point. So the drinking water standard is only going to apply to municipal water utilities, public water systems. If you are on a private well, that standard doesn't help you. It doesn't apply to your well. And I think that's why we heard that raw emotion from the mayor of Peshtigo there, because you know their residents are on primarily private water wells. So you know, what this means is there's no established level or rule that the DNR can enforce on for private wells. Now, of course, that has important implications for people who draw their drinking water from those wells. It also means that DNR is hamstrung in its ability to make polluters clean up groundwater that has above that, you know, whatever the number would have been, 20 parts per trillion, I think, of that concentration in groundwater. So it's kind of a multi-pronged issue there, but you're absolutely right that this takes away protection for those who are on private drinking water wells, not on municipal water systems.
A lot of
this one was a big blow to DNR, I would say.
A lot of what we're talking about deals with existing PFAS in ground and drinking water. Has anything changed when it comes to new sources, new pollutants that find their way into these waters?
Well, I think, you know, given the growing scientific consensus that these forever chemicals are harmful, they are being phased out. They're not totally prohibited yet. And so you could still see some of it coming in. I think that flow has been lessened, but you're right, a lot of the damage has already been done. So, you know, a place like Tyco and Peshtigo or Marinette, that contamination is historical. And so part of the impetus for these rules was to clean up the damage that's already been done. And, you know, that's what DNR was aiming at, I think, with some of these rules.
And then we have these board recommendations. As you say, they have to be passed by the legislature. I believe the legislature's done for 2022. Does that mean, what's the timeline then for something like this?
Yeah, that's a little bit outside my area of expertise, the legislative calendar, but it's unclear what happens next. You know, we've got to go through a standing committee here and then the joint committee for the review of administrative rules. So it could be the case if the legislature doesn't come back soon enough that these rules could be held up until it does, which could be 2023.
Dave, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It was my pleasure.
David Strifling is director of the Water Law and Policy Initiative at Marquette University Law School. We talked with him about the Wisconsin Natural Resources Board's meeting last week where they passed some less restrictive standards for PFAS levels in drinking water that the DNR had proposed. As we heard, there'd be a road for those standards to come into effect.